But let's call some attention to the international sports community, at least for right now. A lot of officials and organizations moving to box Russia out of competition. And for more on that, let's bring in Yahoo Finance's Dave Briggs, who's been watching this story very closely. Dave, the latest to take action, FIFA, UEFA, they're apparently Xing Russia out of international competition. Now, for people that are watching this and wondering, why is sports important to Putin and Russia here? Walk us through the significance of what's been going on that front.
That's a great point, Brian, because a lot of people just think, why does sports really matter when we're talking about a war? Well, sports matter with Russia more than any country on the planet, with perhaps the notable exception of China and President Xi, their ally. And it also matters to Vladimir Putin more than any world leader on the planet, because if it's part of his machismo, masculine, national identity. You don't see President Biden or Obama or Trump or Clinton in a judo uniform or skating on the ice, actually playing hockey with some of the best players on the planet. That's what you see Vladimir Putin do on a regular basis. Those are his two favorite sports. He has now been stripped in those two regards, in addition to FIFA, which I'll get to, the International Judo Federation, a sport he competes in, stripped the title as their honorary president. The International Hockey Federation banned Russia from both the World Championships and the Junior World Championships. This is everything to Russia. And Garry Kasparov, who's the Russian former world champion chess player, Brian, really put this in perspective, telling the Washington Post, sports bans could have a tremendous impact on the minds of the Russian people. He added that sports are an important part of Putin's campaign of gaining influence. You want proof of that? His approval rating went from 54% prior to the Sochi Olympics in 2014 to 90% afterwards. It is central to who he is and the way he leads. As for FIFA, this was really throwing up a yellow card, if you will, on Sunday, saying we'll allow Russia to continue to compete in the World Cup, but they can't host matches, they can't use their anthem or even their name. But then the IOC came out the next day and urged all sports bodies around the world to ban Russia and Belarus from competitions, and also Poland, the Czech Republic, and Sweden, the other three teams in Russia's World Cup pool, all said, no, we will not compete with Russia under any circumstances. The U.S. and the U.K. said the same. That's when FIFA came out and issued the red card. A little too little too late, but they did make the right call. Banning Russia from the World Cup, which starts in November in Qatar. Their match with Poland, March 24th, that for now is off. They are out of the World Cup. A great decision by FIFA and the IOC, but I think it's a makeup call for both organizations, who have largely looked the other way with human rights abuses, selecting these authoritarian countries and human rights abusers for their venues, Brian.
David, you know, a really challenging question here. I'm glad you bring up the Olympic point, because we did see this, right? I mean, Russia, because of the doping scandal, not allowed to compete under their banner and under their flag. It was the Russia Olympic Committee, but they still allowed those athletes to compete. The thinking, I guess, is that you don't want to punish these players and these very talented athletes who didn't have anything to do with these political decisions to invade Ukraine. But at the same time, you have to punish the nation, I guess, at large to send the point to their political leaders. So how are you seeing these kind of broad international bodies handling that thin line there?
Well, I think they realize right now that we're just living in a different world than we were 6 months ago, maybe even 6 weeks ago. And I don't think this would have happened if we rewind the clock to the last Russian invasion. But now athletes and teams and the biggest stars in the sports are saying, no, we're not going to take this. They're going to social media the way the biggest soccer star for Poland did, Robert Lewandowski. And he said, I'm sorry, it is not the fault of the fans nor the athletes, but I will not step foot on a field with Russians. So I think we're just living in a different world now. We should add, the IOC made an exception in the case of the Paralympic athletes. That starts here in a couple of weeks. And they said it's too late at this point to disallow them to the Paralympic Games that are in Beijing. But the U.S. IOC, the U.S. Olympic Committee, rather, just said, no, we would like those Paralympic athletes from both Russia and Belarus kicked out of the Paralympic Games in Beijing. Some of those athletes have already arrived. So the IOC is clearly trying to have it both ways on that behalf. But I think if we move forward on this, the question is, What if Russia takes Ukraine? How long will these bans hold up? Will we normalize at some point they're holding Ukraine, a sovereign territory, and will these bans expire? Hopefully FIFA, the IOC, the International Hockey Federation, and others will stand up and say, well, as long as you hold Ukraine, you are banned from international competition. Hopefully we do not normalize what they've done, Brian.